Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, JC Sherbert over there, and it is Tuesday, so we are with Deputy Smitty. Welcome in, Cam. Good to have you back, man.
How's it going? I'm glad to be back.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Doing well. Ready for some football. Spot the damn ball. We're all ready to go. Tired of talking about it. Want to see something, man.
Dude, we're almost there. I know my Facebook memories are popping up for the game last year. I'm like, God, this time last year, we was already playing.
I know. We were in it.
Yeah, we were on the plane home. Actually, yeah, we were on the plane home because it was August 31st.
Yep.
We were there. We'll always have that one drive, fellas.
That's right.
We'll always have those memories.
That one drive was special.
I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be fantastic.
And then, yeah.
Reality quickly set in. So
yes. We kind of set the tone, come out, easily moved the ball, and then Sellers had the whole field to work with. He's like, I'm just gonna run this guy over into the end zone. I'm like, oh, he just set the tone for the season. Yeah. And then
obviously
it quickly kind of went,
yeah. you know, it was interesting, that guy. I kind of think sometimes, what if that touchdown to Nick Harbor had not been called back? I mean, it would have gone 14-5. Would Carolina have kind of hit a lull like they did, or were they kind of done something? I don't know. With the way the season ended up, probably not. But that was an interesting thing to kind of consider about that game.
Right. Yeah. I was honestly shocked to see that one overturned. I thought that was for sure gonna stay a touchdown, but you know, you never know these days. You know what I mean? I mean, the Kyron Lacy, you know, right there at the 2-yard line and whatnot on their final drive that they come back on, you know, it was real dicey. I think it was a catch, unfortunately, but you know, you look at stuff like that, you know, and they call catch, and you look at Nick's, you're like, that one's incomplete. And it's awfully similar. And you know, so.
And then the Clemson game, like apparently the same rules don't apply to the defensive back.
Right.
I mean, clearly that, you know, that was weird. You know, that was strange. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Kent State comes in this weekend, new offense this year, man. I mean, we hadn't had a spring game. There hasn't been – I mean, it's the first time I can remember where Carolina's kind of done something new. Now, the pandemic year notwithstanding, but we knew what Mike Bobo – I mean, everybody saw Carolina play Georgia through the years and kind of knew what that was going to look like.
Right.
But with this personnel, I mean, you know, we're kind of flying blind, even during the – first Spurrier era, you could tell it's a fun and gun in the spring game. No spring game, no nothing. So I think everybody's kind of anxious to see what it looks like. I know I am. Your thoughts about what you're expecting to see when the Gamecocks get the ball first Saturday? The first time they get the ball on offense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, a lot of unknown, but you kind of, you know, you watch Kendall Briles in his offense, but you just truly don't know. Because, like I said, we have no spring game. I know one thing. I'm excited to see it. I really am. I'm anxious to see it. You know, I know everybody wants to come out and just kind of throw it all around the yard, air it out first play, you know, go 80 yards or whatnot, which I'd be cool and all. But I don't know. I really think we're going to give Sellers some short throws, kind of get him in a rhythm, you know, kind of get the defense up a little bit. And then maybe the second drive or whatnot is when you'll see an over-the-top shot to a Nick Harbor or somebody, you know, DJ Black or whatnot. But what I want to see personally, and, you know, people's probably not going to hear it, but, like, I just want us to see us run the football at will. Like, get up there and knock these guys off the ball. You know, let's have some run lanes for Matt Ford to bust, you know, a couple 10, 12, you know, 10, 12 or whatnot, 6, 7. They lead to 40-yard runs. Of course, I want to see us, you know, throw around the yard as well. But if we can just get up there and just run the ball whenever we want to type thing. So if we want to take a shot on a first and 10, we feel confident because we can come back and make it a 3rd and 3, you know, because we pick up 7 on the ground. So I guess that's my biggest thing Saturday is our offensive line play. I want to see us knock these guys off the ball, get some push. I feel like we haven't seen some push in a while. I mean, I know 24, we had a good run game or decent run game, but you had Rocket Sanders back there too. So my thing is offensive line. Of course, I want to see Sellers look comfortable. I want to see him, you know, be on time, quick decision making. And, but I truly think starting out that Briles is going to come out with some safer throws. Kind of like, I don't even want to say this, but kind of like the way Shula did last year. We had some safe throws, got some completions, got rolling, and then bam, there was a touchdown. So let's just keep it up, though, you know, after the first drive.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with settling men with some high percentage throws, right? I mean, even they do that in the NFL early in the season, too. So it's like that's exactly what you're looking for. But I'm with you, Smitty, in that I want to see the ball get run. I want to see you run the ball primarily with the backs, but Sellers, too, because that's part of his game. I think that's part of settling him in. But, you know, for the past couple of years, we've been hearing, okay, well, we're throwing the ball to open up the run. You know, we're using the passing game as an extension of the run game with the quick outs and things like that. And while both of those things are true and can work, I would rather just be one of those teams that lines up and pounds the rock when they want to, because if you can do it at will, especially early with teams like this, I think that you're going to the passing game will ultimately blossom even further than you could dream if there is a constant threat of whoever is back there behind that line of scrimmage can run the ball.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. That's true. And like I said, when I say run the ball as well, I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, if you could just line up and just run it straight ahead at them and push them off, yeah, that's great. But I mean, you know, let's mix in some different type of runs. I don't care what it is. You know, it could be a jet sweep, you know, whatever. It could be reverse. You know, let's run the ball effectively. Now, I know when I say a reverse or something, obviously that's, you know, we're not really knocking guys off the ball what I want to see. But like, you know, I know everybody's thinking run the ball. Let's just line up like an I formation and just knock our heads against the wall for 4 yards. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
but I'd love to see Sellers use his legs a little bit. I mean, I don't want him to take big hits, especially these first two games. But right. I would like to see him kind of get in the rhythm, use his legs a little bit. And the reason I say like kind of run the ball and get us in a rhythm. I mean, we essentially got 5 new offensive linemen. How are these guys going to gel? This is their first time in live game action out there. The last thing you want is to drop back on, you know, a second and whatever, second and 10, second and 8, and then all of a sudden you get a pressure from Kent State. And it's nature. The crowd's going, ugh, here we go again, you know, or something, you know, it may even get in Sellers' head a little bit, which I wouldn't think it would, but it may even like, oh man, you know, I done got pressured on my first drop back of the season, you know, so settle him in, easy throws, get the ball out of his hand, let's get some momentum going, and then we can maybe start dropping back and throwing it, you know, some 15-yard dig routes across the middle or something, so.
I told O'Covey today about space.
What's that?
Space, mm-hmm. Like space. Okay. And I think South Carolina, just in general, I don't know if it's necessarily the bunch formations because that kind of drove me crazy formationally, because it seemed like they were just dragging everybody into the box and then the play would just go into the box. Like, come on, come on, everybody get in the pool here.
Dude, I made so many videos about that last year.
Spread yeah. Out. Unbelievable. Out. Well, Kendall Briles doesn't do that, obviously. Yeah. I think this too. The good news is South Carolina hadn't necessarily been recruiting to a system. they've just been recruiting. Right. This guy can run and catch, and this guy's good. So the best player that they can. Smitty, don't you think that the personnel that they have on offense at the skill positions, quarterback, running back, receiver, even tight end. Don't you think that those guys are infinitely better if you get them the ball in space when they can move just from their, because you got speed at receiver, you've got a guy in Nick Harbor that's not a jump baller. I always say he's more like a Troy Williamson mm-hmm. than a Sidney Rice or Alshon Jeffrey, even though he's 6'6", 243.
Right.
You know, you got a guy, Sequel Patterson's going to be a guy that people like. DJ Black's a guy. Donovan Murph, you know, the backs can do things in space. Lenore Sellers, obviously, with his legs. I mean, don't you think that, just from a personnel fit, is probably a plan that will, I guess, yield less frustrating, not even necessarily results, but people will be less frustrated because it just kind of seemed like they were slamming their head against the wall a lot the last mm-hmm. 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was one of my biggest, you know, issues last year, you know, would bunch up or whatnot, get tight. And then, like you said, just kind of run it up in there real tight. And so I'm like, spread out, you know, you see these other teams or whatnot, they, you know, use the field, especially, you know, some good, use the field. You got the sideline. No, nobody says that you have to be a certain, you know, yardage away from the tackle. get out, make these guys spread out and defend. And so I think you saw a little bit of that, or a lot of that, with Mike Fury. Whenever he got in there, he kind of spread those guys out. I mean, he got Sellers out in space, Jaden Sellers out in space, and you saw what he did versus Coastal and whatnot. Just get these guys the ball in space, make them miss. I mean, because these defenders, they don't want to be out in space one-on-one with a, you know, a Siegel Patterson or Mazio Bennett or any of these guys. I mean, like I said, even the bigger guys, I mean, that can run like deer. And so just get them out in space. And, you know, I even noticed last year when Elliott took over the offensive line, he would spread the offensive line out a little bit. Like, even if it was just Josiah Thompson taking, you know, another yard or two out. And so I talked to him about it and whatnot. And basically, it's just creating lanes easier is basically what I've been told. It just creates lanes a lot easier. It spread them out a little bit. I can get my block a little bit easier or whatnot. I mean, but here we were last year just kind of bunching up, beating their head against the wall repeatedly. And, you know, it drove me nuts. And I'm hoping I don't see that this year. I don't think I'll see that this year. I'm super high on Kendall Briles. Always been. I've always loved Kendall Briles. Thought he was a heck of a play caller. And so I am super, super excited about what he's going to bring and putting our guys in space to make plays. And just, I feel like last year too, we didn't really play to our strength. You know, it was like, hey, this is my system. This is what we're going to do. But you got to play to your personnel, you know. Like, it's just not very smart to, you know, to have Tom Brady back there running a bunch of read options or whatnot. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, and you got these other guys, like if you had Michael Vick back in the day going, we're just going to drop back and throw it all the time and not use his legs. You know, it's just play to your guys' strength, man.
Yeah, I didn't think the pass game wise last year, with what they were asking Sellers to do, and there's you know, some people and we'll see, you know, the proof will come out this year. Some folks have used that to kind of criticize Lenore as the player and his football IQ acumen and stuff. Kendall actually talked to Chris Lowe from On Three in an article that came out this week and said, you know, Lenore is actually a highly, highly intelligent football IQ guy. But even the best guys, you know, part of the reason, I mean, everybody that goes to the NFL, there's very little development that takes place as far as athletically. Okay. Everybody's, you know, you're not too slow to play in the NFL. You're not too, too small to play it when you get drafted. Quarterbacks struggle as rookies because of the processing and all the stuff they're being asked to do. And one thing that stuck with me in the article that both, I think Kendall and Lenore said, is I don't have to worry about what everybody else is getting everybody else right. Mm-hmm. And I think pre-snap last year, man, when you had to deal with this bunch up front that the center was committing, you know, false start penalties, which never happens, and you had to deal with everything else and all the substitutions and then reading the defense. I mean, that's a big, long checklist, Cam, yep. But for a college quarterback in his second year starting, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, what you just said with all that combined, I mean, you know, then you got these play calls. I would love to see or hear, you know, just 5 or 10 of the calls. But, you know, from what I've been told or heard, you know, they were pretty long at times, especially for college. They were pretty long.
It's like, real long.
There's no point that, you know, I went down to Auburn in 14 and I was talking to Gus Miles on and stuff. They were basically, you know, because Bobby was there, Bobby Bentley, and they were basically calling the same stuff that we called at Spartanburg High School. I mean, it was just, you know,
purple.
Right. And everybody knew what they're doing. And you played so fast when you were doing that. I mean, just look at Nick Marshall. I mean, Nick Marshall's, and to me, he's not close to the quarterback that Lenore Sellers is. He was a great athlete, but Nick Marshall's playing for a national championship because they're playing fast. They're not thinking. He's just out there balling. And I mean, you don't have to have a play called this long. You know, Deuce is right 94. I mean, that's the formation. That's the play. Bam. Everybody knows what they're doing, you know, and they were a play or two away from winning the national championship with that. And yeah. So that's what I'm hoping. And like I said, I've kind of heard that that's almost how similar it is. Real easy. Everybody knows what they're doing. Line up and go, you know.
Yeah, and even Briles, like, you know, I think because around here, like, installation and stuff, whenever you get a new system, you've always heard, well, you know, they're almost getting it. But Briles, I think his first press conference in the preseason, he's like, oh, no, we installed everything already. were just kind of fine. I mean, that was music to my ears because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Well, if they know it, and you know, from having coached, once the kids get it down, then you can start, the fun starts. You can start, you know, tinkering with different formations week to week, you know, changing it up, all that good stuff. Yeah. And all that. So I was happy to hear that. I did have somebody tell me over the summer the exact same thing. It was like, there's a big difference between learning a 11 word play call or 7 word play call and one word. I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, we've all been, and look, Dowell Loggins, to his credit, one of the big differences between the guy that was before him and Dowell was that he did simplify the verbiage. And if you notice, 2024 may have had some questionable moments, blocking and things like that. Carolina did not have nearly as many issues operationally. You ever notice that? They got out there, they got lined up, and they played. The other thing, I was watching the end of the Clemson game from 24, and in that game, Clemson decided to just blitz Lenore Sellers to death, to their peril, right? Mm-hmm. That's why that guy got fired. But one thing Dowell did in that game, they did spread the field. They did spread the field. And I think Sellers, that's the, of all the games he's played, he was at top speed from start to finish in that one, in my opinion, more so than any others. If they could get that Lenore Sellers every time out, just the way he's reacting quick, moving quick, accelerating down the field with his legs when it wasn't there, I think they're on to something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I remember that. I mean, he was very, once he made a decision, he made it. I mean, and he tucked it, and it was head down. And, I mean, he was just running through him. I mean, running through him. And so I didn't see that as much last year. Not sure why. You know, what's interesting, I was talking to Tyler Siski the other night, and Siski was talking about he thinks that running the quarterback is going to be less and less. And he said, because you're paying these guys all this money, like Lenore Sellers, how much money he's making. He said, you get out there and get one of these guys hurt, and now the guy that you're paying all that money to is not playing. He said, I kind of hate that it's going that way, but I truly think that it is. And I was, you know, I've never really kind of thought about that with the running thing, but I'm like, maybe that had something to do with it, but I don't know. But I truly hope that he goes back to, you know, like you said, that 24 game in. I mean, he was just putting his head down and rolling. I mean, look at the first drive of the game. I mean, he was sacked and got out of there and almost scored a touchdown. Wow.
You know, yeah.
If Sammy Brown doesn't make an effort play and catch him at an angle, that's a touchdown on that play, you know? So,
that was maybe the best run of the day, just to be honest. I mean, cause he almost, I mean, I thought he was going to score too. And you know, I think Lenore Sellers, honestly, and he's lost 10 pounds. He's talked about it. He may have gotten a little too big last year.
Yep.
Just to be honest, because he's down to about 235 now. He's at 244 or something last season, 9 pounds. But he looks thinner. Mm-hmm. And then if you think about this too, like, okay, so fast forward Clemson 2025. In the second half, they called a little quarterback around the edge. And, dude, I thought he's gone. I mean, he's gone. And Woodaz, I guess that's how you say it, Woodaz. Why not go with Woodays or something? You sound like Woodass. I'm like Woody Woodass, you know. Anyway, but the kid made unbelievable play, and he's a great player. I mean, I'm not, and tripped him up. You know, it's just a step behind, and you kind of wonder about that too, and with what they were asking him to do. It's kind of very interesting. Let's talk defense real quick. Yeah. You know, Clayton White's done a fantastic job kind of building his defense here. Is it a defense that's going to like shut everybody down and, you know, people putting up seven or nah, sometimes they give up points. Sometimes they give up big plays. They do gamble some, but I think as a play caller, he's grown and grown and grown. This group, Cam, you just look around and you got to stay healthy. You got to get Dylan Stewart back, but you look at those linebackers they have. You look at the two starting corners. There's depth at edge, like guys like Anthony Addison and Julian Walker that are young but that are ready. You're very deep at D-tackle. Peyton Williams is probably going to be the next senior defensive back that's good. Even if David Busey starts, you got that guy, Jazavian Currents, is waiting in the wings. this has they have personnel on defense. Probably last year's defense, I thought overachieved, was tough. Certainly was no question good enough to win more than four games. No, felt bad for those guys.
Yep.
But this year, man, there's some dudes, and you almost can sense the confidence on that, quiet confidence on that side of the ball. You know, what are your expectations there?
Yeah, I mean, I love our defense coming into this year. I'm a big fan of Clayton White, and so, I mean, we get the ball off people. That has to continue to happen. We got to get the ball off people and give our offense some short fields to work with. And so, but I mean, dude, you look at that D line and these D tackles, how deep they are. And then you go, if you bring back a healthy Dylan Stewart, I mean, we all know what he can do. Then the speed with Caleb Herring off the edge, that's what I'm really kind of looking forward to on Saturday. I'm going to be watching him to see his speed off that edge live. I mean, I watched a little bit of Tennessee of him, but I want to see more of it. And so, I'm looking forward to Caleb Herring over there. And then, I mean, of course, I mean, Julian Walker. I just want to see what it's all about. But defense as a whole, you got experienced linebackers now. The second, I don't really never worry about the secondary. I think Torian Gray's the best in the country when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two really good nickels. If you go with Gerald, you go with Quay. I mean, you're really, I don't want to say loaded. I don't want to use that word loaded, but you've got a really good group back there. And, you know, the whole defense, you know, if it's the first team, the second team or whatnot, you got a lot of options back there. And so, I mean, if they continue to get after on that D-line, I had no doubt that we're going to get after it in the secondary as far as, you know, interceptions, taking the ball away from people. I think you're going to see a much better Judge call. I mean, Judge was hurt last year. I don't think he was ever fully healthy after the first game. I mean, I remember his the game, I guess probably I noticed him the most was 24 versus Ole Miss. And, I mean, he was all over the field that game. And so and then he had a good 24 year. But I think I'm going to see a much better Judge because he's healthy now. And, I mean, I've always thought Vakari was good, but I'm hearing nothing but just great things about Vakari Swain as a DB. We all know what he can do in the return game as well, but as a DB. And so I would imagine you got to leave him as a return man, right? I mean, I know we're a little bit thin, you could say, in secondary. I know we just added Ethan, but, I mean, I don't think you take him off that, right? I mean.
Nah, he's too good. Anyway. Yeah. It's kind of, it's hard to sit there and say a corner came into his own in a game that you gave up 439 passing yards. But the first half against A&M, Vakari Swain as a corner was unbelievable. He's all over the place. And he's always had those skills and just needed to get a little more consistent. And there's a lot of good buzz about both those guys. I think, you know, through the years, Carolina's had these seasons where they've had these lockdown corners. My favorite one because of my age was in 2000 when it was Andre Goodman and Sheldon Brown. You know, you go all the way back to that. And I think that could be those guys. They need to stay healthy, but they need to do it. So so final question here. What is a Deputy Smitty Carolina game day going to look like, man? You go down there with the family, you got to place your tailgate. What do? This is your first football season with us, right?
Yes, sir. So I'm going down. I go down Friday night most of the time. Next week I'll go down on Saturday, early Saturday morning, but I'll be down there Friday night, probably about 6 o'clock in Columbia, 6:30. I'll head on over to Five Point Social. And so, head on over there, see the guys. Normally I'd go to Back Street, kind of eat or whatnot. But got to go to Five Point Social. And, I'd also go to Cox by 9. I go to his spot too. When him and Tannehill was there. And,
yeah.
I just like to get in there, man, because when you go down Friday night and you just get with the boys and whatnot, it's just a different vibe. I love it. I love being around just a bunch of people. We're all there for the same thing, and that's Carolina football. Play good. We're all having a good time. Everybody can talk about we're all on the same page here. It's Gamecock football, and we're all excited. So I'll do that. With it being a 12:45 game, I tailgate. Well, I say always. I was at the Armory a couple years ago, but I just don't like the 5-hour time slot, man. I like to get in there like when I want to get in there. And so when it's university owned, you know, 7:30 game, you can't get in there. Gates don't open until 2:30. You gotta wait in line, you know, or whatnot. And so I've been at Bernie's the last couple of years. I'm in that little back, if you go around that little back grass area back there. Well, I think it's gravel now, but that little back lot. And so I got three spots back there. Pulling there Saturday, it'll be 7:30 in the morning. I'll pull up, get the tailgate going. We're not going to grill Saturday just because it's an earlier game, first game. It's going to be hot. So we're just going to grab some Bernie's probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock. or whenever they open, but we'll grab some Bernies and we'll take it back right there to the tailgate. And there we go. And then afterwards, go hang out a little bit more. You know, we'll have the TV on, watch whatever game's on after us. And then that's it.
Man, I have many great memories heading to Columbia Saturday morning down 26. Once you hit Clinton there, you know, and you merge with your Greenville friends, man, that's a good feeling, brother. Well, hey, I'll see you at Five Point Social Mississippi State weekend, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be there.
And we'll definitely talk next week here on the show, but we appreciate you, man. Now, look, you got a new social account you want everybody to follow, so please tell everybody about that. I saw it on X. I think I retweeted it, but yeah, tell everybody what to do.
Yeah, so it's Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Smitty Sports Network, TikTok as well. So trying to get that off the ground and whatnot. I do got some announcements coming with that here in the next couple of days. So I'm super excited about that, and should be fun.
Fired up, man.
Before I head out, do you want to say, because I know she's watching, happy anniversary to my wife, 14 years. So there we go.
Oh, my man. Ah, so yeah, happy anniversary to Mrs. Smitty. So, yeah, that's right. I've seen pictures of your family on social media, man. You got a great family and stuff. So it's awesome. But looking forward to talking to you next week and then seeing you soon, man.
Absolutely. Y'all take care.
All right. Yeah, man. Thanks, man. That's the great Cameron Smith, Deputy Smitty. What a great segment.
Oh yeah, so glad he agreed to come on with us weekly. I know. It's like, all right.
You just feel good, you know, start of the season and all that.
Especially on Tuesday, because this is, you know, nobody likes
Tuesday. It's terrible Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
All right, so let's hit a break. We got lots of stuff in the McKellar Enterprises chat box too. Oh, Luke, I didn't see your question for Smitty. I'm sorry. You can hit him up about Grand Theft Auto and all that. I mean, I guess he may have answered Smitty Sports Network. But anyway, we'll be sure to get your questions. I'm sorry I didn't see that. McKellar Enterprises chat box. Catch up coming up after this. I want to tell everybody Gamecock gear is still in abundance at Gamecock Traditions. Go to GamecockTraditions.com and order yours today online. You can also go to the brick and mortar stores at the Village at Sand Hills in Northeast Columbia. Also out in Lexington. No, that's where we go. Also, get thee to D's Wings tomorrow. 18 wings, pitcher, ice cold beer, $29. And Smitty mentioned 5 Point Social. It is open and live and loud down at 5 Points. There are good friends. Lots of different rooms and things for people of all ages. At least to certain times of the night when the students come out, you know, if you're nice. But if you are a student, head on down and party till the wee hours of the morn. Right there, it's where the 5 Point sign is. Down there at 5 Points, that's 5 Point Social, and certainly very happy and proud of all those guys. Go follow them on all their social media accounts. All right, we'll be back after this on the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here. I'd like to welcome back the SC Education Lottery as a partner for us. Did you know that since 2002, more than 244,000 lottery funded scholarships and grants have been awarded to University of South Carolina students like the LIFE, SC Hope, and Palmetto Fellow Scholarships. Lottery proceeds have funded millions of scholarships and grants across the state of South Carolina and thousands of school buses to get kids to and from school. Playing the lottery is still a win for and fun for education in South Carolina. Learn more at seeducationlottery.com/educationwins.
All right. So as everybody can clearly see, I don't know if I like I cut myself or something on my nose when I went to the bathroom just now.
Oh, but wow.
I've got a massive nosebleed.
Maybe so we should take a break.
No break needed.
Okay.
Just cut the camera. So people don't have to look at this because it'll disgust people out. So
you'll have to do that on your end.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, right. So I'm gonna cut my camera.
Yeah, there you go.
And take my little scarf off there. I just have to. It's just gross. Is more like it. So, I mean, of all things, it is indeed terrible Tuesday today. Oh, but I mean, you know, I guess we didn't really talk much about the Gamecocks in the first little bit. So, or the first part of ITG. So wanted to kind of get into this. This is Gamecock game week. So
right.
I didn't want to just bolt. Normally I would just bolt. Oh, nosebleed, got to go. But I'm going to power through because it's the opening week of the season and stuff like that. So
I hate that, though. That stinks there.
All right. So back in McKellar Enterprises chat box. So Tristan did ask, and I should have asked Deputy Smitty this too. Do you think we're doing more of a zone run scheme or gap power scheme? Hope we scrap the power if we're getting pushed around. It's not, and Smitty could chime in certainly. Kendall Browse does, but a lot of it's gap and power, but it's a lot different than what you saw from the other coordinators in that regard. It's all quick hitting. But you do need an offensive line to at least get a push to do it. Otherwise, he'll zone, you know, and stuff. But it's both. They do a lot of both. And I'm with you. Oh, Lance will see some boots and waggles.
Yeah.
So boots and waggles are right, coming.
Those are going to hit.
Luke RJ says, so you are saying two running backs with 100 yards, Sellers with 100 yards rushing, 300 passing. One receiver with 100 yards this weekend. I don't know. Pimp on a Blimp says, I just want to see a slant route. They ran one first drive of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't run it. Mazio Bennett should be good at running the slant, by the way.
Yeah,
I would think that would be one of his good things.
We saw him do it as a freshman, so it's if he's getting back, we'll be all right.
You know. T-Far says, I just want to see a competent offense. We right. all do. Now, look, I'm going to warn everybody. There's going to be some times this weekend. It ain't going to be perfect, folks, and it never is for anybody in the country. I mean, you'll be watching, like, Ohio State play. Heck, I think they played Kent State in the opener. I think game day was there, too, our big new kickoff. You'll see Ohio State come out and against a lower level team and have moments where the other team gets a drive off or something. So, I mean, don't the enemy of good sometimes is perfection. I think it's going to be a positive thing. If there's some, now look, I'm not saying it's going to be positive. If you look up and the final score is like 31-19 and it's competitive in the fourth quarter. Don't get me wrong there. But there's some drives and some moments where, you know, they miss a block, somebody has a sack or what. That's teachable moment, you know. You don't want things to be too perfect in the opener, in my opinion. So, Doc wants an 8-play all-Fuller run drive for a touchdown to set the tone of the game of the season. Get last season's ghost exercise. Doc, I don't think it's going to take 8 plays if they're running it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll take 8 plays. But I'm with you on that. Craig said, nothing Shula did made sense. I think he was paid to make us lose. Yeah, you know, and it's a shame because I don't really blame him. I just kind of blame the situation. Because, I mean, he certainly – nobody wanted to win more than Mike Shula. I mean, whereas maybe some other coordinators that have been here, you're not really sad to see him go, personality. I mean,
yeah, right.
Shula was a good man. It just didn't work. I just think simply he was just past his prime as a play caller and never was a great play caller, even in the NFL, even with the Panthers that year. No, Phil, no. No.
That was just going to hit right there. Just right there. We got something to look at other than a gray screen.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's either that or I've got a lovely picture of you in a wig and a dress.
No, that's funny. T-Far says, how are they supposed to master it if it doesn't take them 2 years to get it? I don't know what you're saying. If it doesn't take, maybe, I don't know.
I wonder if that's when we're talking about NFL, like quarterbacks in the NFL too. I think that was about that time.
Yeah, well, it's NFL offense. It's just 2 years. You don't have 2 years to learn things in college, especially with the portal.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's on. I mean, you got so much turnover every year. You got to teach it. You got to call it and haul it. You know, you got to teach it and go. Everybody get. I mean, it just you can't be that complicated. Ghost Flame says South Carolina won 8 games last year. We'd be in the top 15. We look so bad, people can't get past it till they see it. I know, but if they'd have won 8 games last year, Ghost, I don't think they would have this roster.
You know, maybe not.
I just don't see the rallying point. I don't see a lot of some of the guys sticking. I think And there would have been some of like, well, my work here is complete. But that just stuck in everybody's craw so bad. I mean, it's like they wanted an instant do-over. So, Doc says 13 seasons since our last double-digit win total. So an 18-year-old today would have been five around then.
Yeah.
But Carolina's recruiting better than they ever have.
Right.
So, I don't know. Callaway Sandbag. I like it. It's a great name. A lot of wide receiver talk about how much talent there is on the team, but what I'm curious about is how many actually will see the field the first two games. Could be 8 to 11. I hope all of them.
Yeah, it'd be good to see the whole.
Because that means everybody got to play. That means everybody, you know, they won the game. I think they'll settle in with 6, 7, maybe 5.
Yeah.
Cam says it's wild to think we've only had 4 backs eclipse the 1,000-yard mark in the last 25 years. Yeah. I don't know that you will this year either. I think maybe. But in one of those years when Kevin Harris did it, nobody was really playing any defense. I think if that was a normal defensive year, that offense would have really struggled because they didn't have any receivers or in a bad situation at quarterback. But,
right, yeah.
You know, for some reason, it's like, oh, y'all are going to line up in the eye. And with a lead blocker and try to I'm not about tackling Kevin Harris today.
No, so. Even then it's only 2 wins that season too. It was like all that rushing.
Yeah,
yielded.
Bruin says my wife busted me in the nose for the Sydney Sweeney reaction from last week. Probably. Krager says I 3 knuckled a booger. No. PD says, if these freshmen who have made a big splash in camp play well, how much playing time do they take from these upperclassmen going forward? It depends on by position. You know, most of them, TD, are kind of in the rotation already. You know, I could see. So, Jazavian Currents is just, and this is nothing against David Busey. If David Busey maintains the job, great, because it means David Busey's playing very well and is really good.
Right.
You know, Julian Walker, will there ever be a day he starts? Maybe, you know. But when Dylan Stewart comes back, he'll play a whole lot. You know, Noah Clark's part of a rotation. Sequel Patterson's going to be part of a rotation. Darius Gray's interesting because at some point he may be Trevor Lawrenced. And when I say Trevor Lawrenced, I mean you just go ahead and make the switch because he's going to be your guy. You know, remember how Dabo did that with Kelly Bryant. So, Harris says Lenoris is probably in the NFL right now. So,
yeah.
T Far was making fun of Marcus Satterfield. Yeah, when he said it's going to take us 2 years to get
years. Jeez.
Game got 3-4-6 wants the Gamecocks to run 5 yards per carry and passing be effective using multiple wide receivers, especially something you didn't get to see last year. Defense. Want to see a DJ Swearinger swag. Yeah, I was thinking the other day, DJ Swearinger, will there ever be another player with that much swag?
Man, he brought
Carolina. The next one there's been really good players, elite players on the defense, don't get me wrong. But, man, I mean, and you know, everybody that kind of goes down in history around here has their one legendary moment. That day against Arkansas in 2012, was it 2012 or 13? I think it's 13. Or is it 12? No, it's 12.
Let's see. Yeah, DJ.
Well, yeah, it's 12 because in 13, Carolina went out to Arkansas and beat them bad. So 2012, when they called this BS penalty on him, and then the next play, he got a pick 6.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, yeah.
And then threw the ball into the stands and got another penalty. Michael says, did we ever hear from Preston? Did y'all ever hear from Preston?
Yes, Preston is okay. He ended up getting his schedule mixed up and was reading to a school today. He did say that his expectations, what he wants to see this weekend is 200 yards of rushing and 40-plus points scored. Which I don't think is too much to ask.
Yeah, no doubt. Bruin said Shula would still be here. Luke says, is it a bad sign for Shane Beamer that he hired Satterfield, Loggins, and Shula thought they would be good offensive coordinators? No. I don't think that's something he's probably proud about on his resume. Loggins was not bad, though. Loggins, I think, would have worked out. Now, I'll say this. Steve Spurrier hired John Thompson, Ron Zook, Lorenzo Ward, Tyrone Nix.
They're not all winners.
John Hoke a second time. And they are Bob Stoops and Ellis Johnson. So, now offensive coaches sometimes do that. But, I think Beamer made a good hire with Kendall Briles. And as long as Kendall Briles works out, that's the direction that they continue to go. You know, the problem is I think when you look at who's left, like where Kendall Briles has left, you know, with the exception of Lane Kiffin, and of course at Houston, Applewhite got fired, and they got fired at Florida State too. But like Sam Pittman went in a different direction and thought it would be better, and it wasn't. Obviously, it's just one game, but Sonny Dykes, whatever they trotted out there, was not. I mean, I don't know what that was. UConn's old offense, I guess. You know, so I think the key is just to keep it going with this style, you know, and all that. How many total rushing yards on offense Saturday? 25. 25 rush? Oh, 250.
250. Yeah, okay. I was like, ooh, man, come on now. 250?
Cam says, JC, are off-the-field restrictions incorporated in some of these NIL deals like they are in NFL contracts, like Patrick Mahomes forbidden to play basketball? Is it the same in college, and should it be? No, it's not. NIL deals are basically for your name, image, and likeness. You can't really get into that.
Yeah, they're just marketing agreements, not
employment
contracts. Yeah.
What happened to Peak was unfortunate. It looks like it's going to work out fine, though. They're going to get him back. He's going to be back. But, you know, they're not going to stop playing basketball, nor should they. I mean, and even if you don't have a fun team event like basketball, like sanctioned, they're going to go play basketball over at the rec center. I mean, they all play basketball, man. So TD says, y'all got to talk with Cousin Mike. He said, if any team were to lose this weekend, it would be Carolina. I truly hope he was kidding. He definitely was.
I'm sure that was, yeah.
Oh, Eric says, who is the Yeti covering, JC? Dexter says, we shouldn't expect the offense to score every drive, but just clean football and get into a rhythm. Yeah. I just want to see him go out there and attack early, you know. I hear what the conversation, what Jamie was saying about protect the defense, and I know that they need to do that. But I think the worst thing you can do, if you're the head coach or if you're Kendall Briles, is to try to do that way too much, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there is, you can't just go fast all the time. You know, and sometimes you do need to slow it down. There's sometimes, you know, an opportunity to do that, but you can seriously damage your offense. I've seen when you try to gear them down, they're just out of whack. It's too slow. It's too methodical. They're not used to it. Your muscle memory's not there. I don't think they're going to slow it down. I think that you have to go slower these days because of the rules. Because it used to be that you could just go, screw the defense, we're just going. Yeah. You can't do that anymore because of the substitution rules. The refs will slow the game down on you, as Kendall Briles talked about. But I don't anticipate this happening. But I don't think Clayton White cares. I mean, maybe he does. I don't want to speak for him, but protecting your defense, that's the kind of stuff that you hear about through history, recent history through here. for coaches that didn't really care about scoring points.
Right.
And they didn't. You know, Steve Spurrier actually did protect his defense when he was here. But you never – he wanted to score every dang time he got the ball. And that I think that's a mindset. I think the attack mindset, I think you really get into some problems if you're like with Lenore Sellers. I think it's what happened last year was overemphasis on staying in the pocket, you know, and I just think you just got to let him go play and let the chips fall where they may. And if you score 60, but unfortunately your defense gives up 30, who gives a crap? You won by 30 points. Callaway says running a conservative offense in college, taking your foot off the gas went up big is my biggest pet peeve. Watching Carolina lose games because they were too conservative on offense kills me. Yeah, I can't remember it. Well, I remember a time that they A&M, I don't know that they got conservative last year, Callaway, though. I think A&M, they almost were too aggressive. You know, that may have been a game where you sort of kick field goals, you know, don't throw it as much. What game, when did they get conservative? I thought the biggest example of getting too conservative, and this was Dowell Loggins, was in 2024 against Missouri.
Yeah, that almost cost
them. Mm-hmm. You're up 21-6, and, you know, Missouri's having success driving the ball. But you're lucky because your defense held to two field goals, you know, and then you just go full turtle mode in the second half trying to run out a 15-point lead. That was my big thing with Loggins is like, he got more and more college as a play caller, but sometimes he would shut it down. He did it in Oklahoma too.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Remember that Oklahoma game the second half was almost embarrassing with how Oklahoma dominated. I get that on the road up 32-3, you're trying to get out of there and it's Sooner magic and all that. You're fine. Missouri at home and a team that's rubbed your nose in it. You're for the first time all year, you're connecting with big plays in the passing game.
Yeah.
And then you continue to do it when you had to come back. I would have just kept it. I would attack that secondary over and over and over again. Carolina actually is the last 2 years. Sellers is, have you noticed Sellers is actually pretty good? They don't play Missouri this season. At attacking the Missouri secondary because he had a big passing game out there this year too.
Yeah.
So that's it. JC, could you see College Game Day coming to Columbia at the end of the season against Georgia? If that happens, Luke, then lots of good things have happened
yeah.
for this team.
Then I would imagine that could be a battle for who gets to play in Atlanta.
Implications.
Yeah.
Because it's the second to last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But what a week. It'd be crazy. It'd be crazy to have that kind of game the week before you have to go and play Clemson.
Yeah, before the rivalry. I know. About November's to remember, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. The few times Carolina has had, like, a significant game, like, either right before or two games before Clemson. Like, 2010, they went to the Swamp and won. Yay. And then they beat Troy badly. And then they went up and handled business Clemson. And then, you know, 2022, that huge win over Tennessee. And they went up there and won. So it doesn't always take away from that. Usually that Clemson game, the better team wins.
Right.
Period. It's just the better team wins. So, anyway, Michael says one thing about Beamer's teams, they don't give up when down. No, they don't. He's got a good culture.
Yeah.
One more thing I don't want to miss. TD says, I'm interested to see if the offense gets to 35. It's 4th-and-3. Do they kick it or go for it? Well, obviously they let him kick. If not, I'll be worried. We have a big issue. On the 35 TD on 4th-and-3, Kendall Brown's probably going to want to go for it.
Yeah.
Even if you have.
I don't think I'd read
Lewis Zedejas out there kicking the ball.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I'd read anything to that.
Morton Anderson, the guy with the sawed off foot that kicked for the Saints back in the day.
Gus, now, if you're on the 25, then I might. I might raise an eyebrow.
Gus the Mule from the Disney cartoons, Voyage. Even if you have those guys, Kendall Browse still may want to go for it. But I agree completely, TD, with your point. You just don't want to worry about it. All right, I'm going to go listen to Beamer talk.
Yeah, man.
For the Mad Dog Phil Mullinax, this is J.C. Sherbert. Wide open Wednesday tomorrow. And then we have Thursday. And then we have Friday. Inside the Gamecocks, the preview show. I'll be back in the morning. Don't forget thebigspur.com. And we'll holler at you soon.